take the scriptures, turn it again, please, just about the portion that we read from a few moments ago. And I'm taking as my text the well-known verse 6 of this portion. John 14 and verse 6. It's a vital text in the scriptures, words of the Savior. The Savior speaking to Thomas, that man that we often describe as doubting Thomas, and yet if we're honest as Christians, there's often many doubts in our own hearts and minds. The verse 6 tells us, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Many years ago, in the land of Scotland, there was a gentleman taking a journey by motor car. He was travelling up from England, and he was making his way to Glasgow, one of the great cities of Scotland, along the western side of that land. As he made his way through Scotland, he came to a town called Kilmacullen. And when he arrived in that town, he wasn't certain about what direction to go next. So as he just came through the town, he was just leaving it, he saw some roadmen. They were working and mending the road just at one side. And he pulled along the side of these men and he put down the window and he asked them the question, do you know the way to Glasgow? The men didn't know the way well. They stopped their work. One man in particular stepped over and he gave this traveller very, very clear instructions, very clear guidance, told them every road to take that would bring them exactly to his destination. The traveller thanked the road worker and he was just about to pull off when the road worker asked him this vital question, tell me, sir, do you know the way to heaven? Do you know the way to heaven? The man said, no, I don't know the way to heaven. So the road worker immediately replied in the words of this verse, Jesus said, I am the way. Just to say to the believers here, isn't that a good opportunity, a good way to strike up a conversation with men and women? When I was down in Kingston the other day, somebody asked me directions to somewhere. I just can't remember where it was now. And I had to tell them that I was far away from home and a stranger in this part. But it's true that often people stop you to ask you for directions. And we should always look for that as an opportunity. If they're looking for directions to some destination here on earth, we should see that as an opening to tell them, give them the directions to heaven. But that's the question. Do you know the way to heaven? And the roadman answered, Jesus said, I am the way. Well, the traveller thanked him very much for what he had said. And he drove on. And all the way, during the rest of his journey, all the way to Glasgow, he was thinking over in his mind the things that road worker had said. Just 10 days later, that same man was involved in a car crash. It proved to be a fatal car crash. A short time afterward, he died from the injuries that he had sustained. He called his family around his bedside in the hospital. And in the closing minutes of his life, he gave them his final instructions. And whenever his funeral was over, a couple of days after, two young men, dressed nicely in their suits, dark ties, they appeared in Kilmacullen, that little town in Scotland. And they went around the town inquiring as to where they could find the Christian road worker that had spoken to their father just a few days before. They did find the man, introduced themselves, they told them who they were, they explained the tragic events that had befallen their father. But they said, he wanted us to bring this message. Father understood what you said to him that day, and he's now in heaven. There's a very nice ending to the story. But men and women, I want you to ponder this afternoon that vital question. Do you know the way to heaven? And let me stress to you in this meeting, there's nothing more important. That's why a meeting like this is so vital. It's sad to think, you think of the houses, the people around us, so little interest in the things of God, so little interest in the gospel message. But always remember the longest day you live. There's nothing more important in life than knowing the way to heaven. But I'm sure you want to go to heaven. There's that hymn we often sing, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk one day. I'm sure you want to go to heaven when your life is over. But the question is, do you know the way? Well, let me make it clear to you. There is a way to heaven. There's no need for uncertainty. There's no need for despair. There's no need for consternation today. Heaven is not an unapproachable or an inaccessible place. There is a way to heaven. That, in essence, is the good news. That's the good news that we have to proclaim. There is a way to heaven. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. But what you must remember is this, that heaven is God's dwelling place. And if you would want to know how to get there, then you must listen to God. I'm a stranger, as I've said, in these parts. If I wanted to get to your home, if I wanted to find your dwelling place, there's no one better to give those instructions than you. You're the person that lives there. And it's just the same with heaven, men and women. If you want to know the way to heaven, you have to listen to what God has to say. Don't listen to the notions and to the theories of men. And there's so many of them abroad in this day in which we live. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's a false way. For we're told the end thereof are the ways of death. If you want to know the way to heaven, what you need to do is turn to the Bible. You need to come to the Scriptures. Turn your attention to the Word of God. Because it's in this book alone that you will get your directions to God's dwelling place. What I want to speak upon this afternoon, just for a few minutes, is the theme, the simple gospel theme, of how to get to heaven from Kingston. And I ask you to take note, there's going to be three simple directions that I'll give to you. I'd encourage you to take note of them. I'd encourage you to memorize them, because they'll help you one day. You may have an opportunity to speak to someone in this town in the incoming week about the things of God, and these directions will be a help and a benefit to you. So how do you get to heaven from Kingston? The first direction is this. Recognize that you're a sinner. The Bible presents us with the unmistakable fact that every person born into this world is a sinner. Let me stress that. Every person born into this world is a sinner. Solomon said, there is no man that sinneth not. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your upbringing has been. There's no man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah the prophet declares, always, it's not all embracing, it takes every one of us in, every one in this meeting, and it takes every one on the face of the earth in. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. You think of Paul's words, writing to the Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just think of how much is included in that little word, all. All we like sheep. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, Paul writing in that same chapter said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Some people think it's their own righteousness will get them into heaven. But could it be any clearer? There's none righteous, no, not one. The clear testimony of the whole Bible is that every person born into this world is a sinner in God's sight. There was only one person who was born without sin, and that was the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us in him was no sin. But apart from the Savior, there are no exceptions. We are all sinners. The overwhelming truth is that all have sinned, and all the world is guilty before God. And you know what the first step on the road to heaven is? The first step on the road to heaven for you, my friend, is to recognize that fact. To recognize that you are a sinner, and to recognize that you are guilty in God's sight. We're always very good at thinking everybody else is guilty. We're always very good at seeing everybody else's sin. But the first step on the road to heaven for you is to recognize that you're a sinner before a holy God. Well, you may be righteous, you may be religious, you may be a church or a chapel goer, but you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. I knew a lady back in Northern Ireland, and she was very good at attending meetings. In fact, her family said that she attended every holy meeting there was. And maybe that's true of you. You go to every meeting. If there's a religious meeting on at all, you're at it. Well, you could be a church or a chapel goer, but you're still a sinner in God's sight. You may live a very upright, a very moral, a very respectable life, but the Bible teaches that we're sinners before the Lord. And my friend, if you would ever hope to be in heaven, you have to recognize that fact. Isn't that something that's very humbling? Man has a very exalted view. Man has a very exalted opinion of himself. But here's something very humbling. You may not like to think of yourself or view yourself in this way, but you're a sinner in God's sight. You remember Zacchaeus? The Lord said, come down. Well, that's what the Lord's saying to you today. You need to come down from that high position you have for yourself. You need to humble yourself before the Lord and take the sinner's place. Isn't it true that in a physical sense, not everyone will acknowledge that they're unwell? I'm sure you've experienced it. It doesn't matter how ill the person is. It doesn't matter how obvious the symptoms are. It doesn't matter how often they're told. It doesn't matter even who tells them. Even if it's the highest authority medically in the land, they will refuse to recognize that they're sick. But you know, the same thing happens spiritually. People will act in exactly the same way, and maybe you're one of them. Regardless of what you're told, and even regardless of who tells you, what authority they're given, you refuse to admit that you're sick with the awful disease of sin. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Is that what you would want to say this afternoon in this meeting? That you have no sin? You think that you'll get into heaven the way you are because you've never sinned? But you know the only person that you're deceiving is yourself. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Many years ago in America, there was a governor of the state of Texas. His name was Governor Neff, N-E-F-F. He paid a visit on one occasion to the state jail, and he addressed all the prisoners. And at the end of his address, he said to the prisoners, once I finished speaking, I was sitting over here for a little while, and then if you men or women that would like to speak to me, you'll have opportunity. Christians just come forward, I was happy to hear what you have to say. But there was a long queue of prisoners that wanted to speak to the governor. And every one of those prisoners said that they were framed. Every one of them said that there had been a blunder in the judicial system. Every one of them said that there had been an injustice take place that had put them behind bars. All except for one man. And when he came before the governor, he came with his head down. He admitted that he had done wrong, that he had broken the law, that he was guilty of the crime that he had been sentenced for. But he said to the governor, I believe that I paid for my crime. And if you would be pleased to set me free, I would do my best to live as a model citizen of this land. And that was the man the governor pardoned. He set him free. And then, that's what you have to do today. You have to acknowledge your guilt. You have to acknowledge your crimes before God. You have to acknowledge your sin. If you would ever want to be in heaven, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. Except you take the sinner's place, you'll never be. You'll never be in the glory of God. Here's the first direction. Recognize that you're a sinner. The second direction to heaven from Kingston is to repent of your sin. Doesn't the Word of God constantly direct the sinner to repent? The Savior said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus said on another occasion, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What call did the Lord Jesus sound out during the course of his ministry upon this earth? He sounded forth the call to repentance. You think of Peter preaching in the Acts of the Apostles. He said, repent ye therefore and be complete and be converted. Think of Paul's preaching, standing in Mars Hills in Athens. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Does not take in Kingston, in Tasmania. God now commandeth all men everywhere. What are you to do? You're to repent of your sins. It's clear in the scriptures the duty of the sinner to repent is clearly set forth. But here's the question. What does it mean to repent? Well, in the Sunday school class, on one occasion, a teacher asked the children that question. Boys and girls, what does it mean to repent? You might think that a hard question, even to give to adults, let alone to children. But these children did very well. The little boy got his hand up and he said, Miss, to repent means to be sorry for your sin. And the teacher said, that's very good, but it's not enough. But then the little girl got her hand up. The girls were always a wee bit brighter than the boys anyway. This little girl got her hand up and she said, Miss, it means to be sorry enough to want to quit. And that's it, men and women. That's the meaning of repentance in the simplest of terms. To repent of your sin means to be so sorry, to be so grieved over the sins that you have committed that you cannot tolerate it any longer, and you must turn away from it and forsake it. That's what God's commanding you to do in this meeting. You think of a squad of soldiers on the parade ground. They're marching along in a certain direction. And they give the command to do an about turn. Well, that's what the Lord's commanding you to do. They're marching along and they have to stop. They have to do a complete turn around, a complete about turn. And they set off in an entirely different direction. Well, that's what the Lord's commanding you to do, my friend. He wants you to stop. You're going down the broad road. You're going away from the Lord. You're racing down that broad road toward a lost eternity. He wants you to stop. He wants you to turn around. And he wants you to go in the opposite direction. The Lord wants you to turn from your sin and hell. And he wants you to turn to Christ and salvation and heaven. Will you do it today? Will you turn to heaven? And let me stress to you, men and women, that repentance is not optional. This is not something that you can take or leave as you desire. This is not something that you can ponder over. Repentance is something that is absolutely necessary. If you would ever hope to be saved, if you would ever hope to be in heaven, this is an imperative. It's a must. You must repent of your sin. Didn't the Savior say, "Except ye repent"? There's no other way. Except ye repent, except ye turn from your sins, ye shall all likewise perish. The sobering reality is this. If you don't repent, then one day you'll meet with the judgment of God. If you don't turn from your sin, then one day you'll perish in hell for all eternity. Is that a sobering thought? Mr. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, he had a title for one of his sermons. It was a very striking, very pointed title, but yet it sums up this thought that we're considering just at this moment. The title of his sermon was "Turn or Burn." And then, women, that's the reality. That's the two choices that you're faced with. Either you turn, either you repent of your sin, or you'll burn, you'll perish in the flames of hell for all eternity. Recognize you're a sinner. Repent of your sin. And the final direction I'll give you is simply this. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me stress to you, salvation is not to be found in a church. It's not to be found in this church, and it'll not be found in any other church. Oswald J. Smith, the very famous Canadian pastor, he wrote a lovely gospel tract entitled, "Which Church Saves?" You know the answer is, there's no church that saves. Salvation is not to be found in a church. It's not to be found in a creed. It's not to be found in good works. Salvation is found in a person. And it's only found in one person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to do in this meeting, and what we want to do in every gospel meeting, is point you away from the church, point you away from yourself, point you away from the rituals and ceremonies of religion, and we want to point you to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." We want to point you to the Savior. Didn't Peter say, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved"? Neither is there salvation in any other. He's the only Savior. He's the only person that can save your soul. He's the only person that can forgive your sins. He's the only person that can get you into heaven. And I want to make it clear to you, you only obtain salvation when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior. I wonder, have you ever done that? Let me ask every one of you, assembled here this afternoon, have you ever done that? The most vital thing in your life, have you ever received Jesus Christ into your heart? You ask me, how do I do it? How do I receive Him? Well, the answer is by faith. The New Testament says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How does He come into your heart? How does He come to dwell within? It happens by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the jailer? What must? There's that imperative again. What must? Here's something absolutely necessary. What must I do to be saved? The answer is believe on, not about, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. and thou shalt be saved. That word believe means to put your faith, to put your trust to rest, your all upon Christ. And my friend, that's what you must do today. Trust completely in the work that Jesus Christ finished on the cross of Calvary. And that's what I want to urge you to do. I want to urge you with all my heart to come to trust the Savior today. Don't put it off any longer. Don't think I'll leave this meeting and I'll do it some other time. You need to trust Him now. And be aware of this encouraging fact. If you come to Christ today to trust Him, He'll not refuse you. He'll not turn you away. You might think, or the devil might whisper in your ear this afternoon, He'll never save you. He'll never forgive your sins. Your past is too black. Your sins are too dark. That's the lie of the devil, men and women. He'll not refuse you. He'll not turn you away. Doesn't the New Testament say, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out? Isn't that a lovely promise? Him that cometh. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what life you've lived. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Here's how you get to heaven from Kingston. Recognize you're a sinner. Repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you do it, my friend? Let me stress this just as I close. Let me stress that these are important directions. In fact, these are the most important directions that you will ever receive in all your life. It matters not how long you live. It matters not what else you will ever hear. The places that you will be told to go and how to get there. These are the most important directions that you will ever receive. Because remember, these are the directions to heaven. These are the directions to God's dwelling place. These are the directions, my friend, to eternal life. And if you neglect these directions, if you fail to follow them, if you refuse to listen to them, then I have to tell you, you'll never be in heaven. If you don't listen to these directions, the result of that is you'll be lost, and you'll be lost for all eternity. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May the Lord bless his word.